Last week we mentioned in the message that the reason Paul wrote to the Colossian church was because of false teaching that was coming in. And so today we want to think on the subject, beware of false teaching. Everywhere we go, we see warnings. On some roads, we see the warning, slippery when wet. Or on some bridges, they say, a sign may say, may be slippery. On cleaning supplies, we may see the sign, keep out of the reach of children. And on some medications, it says, do not exceed whatever the dosage is. And on aerosol cans, a message may be, do not throw into a fire. And on foods, must be kept under refrigeration. Now, all these warnings are for our good, for our safety, and for our health. This is true also in the spiritual realm. You know, some say, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. Well, why would they think that? They don't put on a bottle of oven cleaner. You may swallow some of this if you're sincere. Air is as dangerous spiritually as it is physically. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And in verse 12 he said, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. In other words, it was wrong doctrine. In 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we read, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, he says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And it's not the teachers that have itching ears, it's the people that want them, because they want to hear what's going to make them feel good, that's, so to speak, going to tickle their ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, again, the book of Colossians was written to a church which was being introduced to heresy. And Paul wrote to them, warning them of the error and showing them the truth. The error they were being taught was called Gnosticism. It comes from the Greek word that means gnosis, and that interpreted means to know. The Gnostics were a people who believed they were in the know when it came to the deep things of God. They thought they were the spiritual elite in the church. This heresy promised people such a close union with God that they could achieve a spiritual perfection. Spiritual fullness could be theirs only if they entered or followed this teaching and ceremonies that these teachers prescribed. There was a spiritual depth, they said, that only those initiated into their group could enjoy. Now, this teaching mixed various beliefs and traditions together. There was teaching included Greek philosophy. They held a form of astrology, and they believed that angelic beings ruled the heavenly bodies and influenced the things that took place on earth. They also added Jewish legalism. They believed the rite of circumcision was helpful in spiritual development and observed many of the Jewish feasts. And they believed the Old Testament dietary laws were useful in attaining spiritual perfection. Now, there's some value in some of these, but not to make us more spiritual. They believed all matter was evil. In order to reach perfection, it required great discipline and isolation from the things of the world. Now, there are things in the world that we need to separate ourselves from, but they believed everything material was evil. This also attacked the person and work of Jesus Christ. If matter is evil, then Jesus could not have been the Son of God come in the flesh, because even though we have a sinful nature, they claim that Jesus Christ couldn't come as a man in the flesh because he had flesh and that was evil. Thus, his death on Calvary did not accomplish what the Bible tells us it accomplished. And such a teaching they were telling people with such a teaching that Jesus really wasn't the Son of God that he claimed to be. So this false teaching was a deceptive combination of many things, a combination of Jewish legalism, Oriental philosophy, pagan astrology, and mysticism, which believes that are religious beliefs that only certain people could know, and not everybody could know have that if you didn't belong to their group. And then they believed in asceticism. In other words, it's like being a hermit for religious reasons. And then they included a touch of Christianity. Now, there was something for everybody in what they taught, and this was what made it so dangerous. The false teachers claimed that they were not denying the Christian faith, but only lifting it up to a higher level so that it included more people. It offered fullness and freedom and a satisfying life that solved all the problems that people face. Now, Jesus promises us freedom and satisfaction, but they said you had to follow their teaching in order to experience that. Now, do we have any of this heresy today? And the answer to that is yes, we do. It is just as deceptive and dangerous. When we make Jesus Christ and God's Word only part of the total religious system or part of what we believe, then we cease to give Him the preeminence that He deserves. I want to turn back to Colossians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Here we read, and he is, speaking of Christ, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church, the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now notice this, that in all things he might have the preeminence. When we strive for spiritual perfection or spiritual fulfillment, fullness, by means of formulas and disciplines or rituals, we go backward instead of forward spiritually. Christian believers must beware of mixing their Christian faith with such alluring things such as yoga and transcendental meditation and oriental mysticism and other things like it. We must beware of deeper life teachers who offer a system of victory and fullness, but it bypasses real true devotion to Jesus Christ. In Colossians, again, the Apostle Paul said in 1 verse 18, in all things, he, Christ, must have the preeminence. He must have first place in our life. This heresy was, it was in direct contrast to the teaching of Paul. It took a negative view of life. God is far away. Matter is evil. Demonic forces are constantly threatening us. God's word teaches that God is near us and the Holy Spirit indwells us, and that God made all things good, though they can be used for evil. Yet they taught all matter is evil, and they taught that Christ has delivered his people. And the Bible teaches us that Christ has delivered his people from the power of darkness. And they said that was false. In Colossians 1, verse 13, we read, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? This heresy turned the world into a frightful prison. While Jesus made it clear to us that the Father is at work in this world, caring for his own, these false teachers tried to change people from the outside. You had to do certain things in order to be spiritual. And they taught, you had to follow certain diets, certain things you ate, and you had to do certain things, certain disciplines. But true spiritual growth comes from the inside. It's a matter of the heart growing in Christ's likeness. In this letter, Paul used the vocabulary that the false teachers used, but he did not use their definitions. He used these words in their true Christian meaning. Words such as fullness, perfect, and complete were frequently used by these heretics, but Paul used them to mean exactly what God meant. Paul used the little word all, A-L-L, over 30 times and wrote about wisdom, which was a key term of these Gnostic vocabulary. He even had a great deal to say about angels and spiritual powers. But again, he taught what God said about him, not what people made up about him. The cults, modernists and other religions may use some of the same vocabulary of the scriptures, but this does not make them correct. It only makes them more deceptive and more dangerous. Now, Paul's main theme was the preeminence of Jesus Christ, putting him first in our lives. There is no need for us to worry about angelic mediators or spirit appearances. God sent his Son to die for us. Every person who places their faith in Jesus Christ and receives him as Savior is saved, and their sins are forgiven, and they are a part of the body of Christ, the true church, which Christ is the head of. We are united to Christ in a wonderful living relationship. Furthermore, nothing needs to be added to this relationship, because each believer, the Bible says, is complete in him. All the fullness dwells in Christ, and we share that fullness. Notice Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so in Christ we are saved from the penalty of sin. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. When we pray, Christ intercedes for us, and we can grow spiritually and become more Christ-like in our lives. And we have the promise that after this life, we are going to heaven. Warren Wiersbe told of being in an airport one day, waiting for his airplane to be, or for his plane to be called. He was approached by a young man who wanted to sell him a book. One look at the cover told Mr. Wiersbe that the book was filled with Oriental myths and philosophies. Mr. Wiersbe said, "Why, I have a book already here that meets all my needs." And he reached into his briefcase and took out his Bible. And the guy said, "Oh, we aren't against the Bible. It's just that we have something more. It makes our faith even better than what just following the Bible says." Now, Mr. Wiersbe said, "Nobody can give me more than Jesus Christ has already given me." He turned to Colossians 2, but by that time, the young man was hurrying down the corridor. Sad to say, there are many Christians who actually believe that some person or religious system or discipline can add something to their spiritual experience, but they already have everything they will ever need in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Paul began his book by emphasizing Jesus Christ and showing his preeminence in five areas: the gospel message, the area of redemption in creation, the church, and his own ministry. And then Paul exposed the false teaching. The believer who masters Colossians chapter 2 is not likely to be led astray by some alluring and enticing, so to speak, new and improved brand of Christianity that some might teach. Then Paul explained the greatest antidote to false teaching, and that is a godly life. Wrong doctrine always leads to wrong living. Right doctrine should lead to correct living. Paul wrote that if Christ is truly preeminent in our lives, if he truly has first place, then we will glorify him by keeping pure, by enjoying fellowship with other saints, by loving each other at home, by being faithful at work, by seeking to witness to others for Christ, and by serving Christ faithfully. Unless doctrine leads to duty or right living and responsibility, it is of no use to us. And the Apostle Paul and James both tell us that. Now, the church today desperately needs the message of Colossians. We live in a day of religious toleration, and people are believing many different things than what the Bible teaches. And people are trying to harmonize and unite many different schools of thought and come up with what they call a superior religion. Our evangelical churches are in danger of diluting the faith in their loving attempt to understand the belief of others. False teaching is secretly creeping into many churches. They are not denying Christ, but they are, by accepting that teaching, they are dethroning him, not giving him right first place, and robbing him of his rightful place of being preeminent in our lives. See, again, the Bible tells us that in all things Christ might have the preeminence, that he might always be first place in our lives, in what we believe and in how we live. May that be true in each of our lives, that Christ is always first. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had in your word. And Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sin on Calvary's cross, that when we place our trust in him and receive him as our Savior, we become a child of God. And Lord, I pray that we would be very wise and not accept the teaching of false teachers, but would spend much time in the Word of God, and would not only seek to know it, but to obey it and live according to what it teaches. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.